Going to be in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Give you a second to get there. Proverbs 14, verse 12. And the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." That same verse is repeated in Proverbs 16, 24. Anytime that anything in the Bible is repeated, it usually has to do with the emphasis that God wanted to put on that verse, that word, that thought. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We do thank you for the graduates, and Lord, be with them as they step out now into a next phase of their life. We pray for their guidance, Lord. I pray they'll always look to you and trust you in every aspect of their life, everything they say and do. Lord, I just pray now as we look to your word today, Lord, that we have an overwhelming sense of your presence among us, realizing that this is your word, Lord, and that it's meant for our benefit. Lord, our instruction, our correction, Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, help us to grasp that, apply that to our life. Lord, in a real way. And so, Lord, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us, dying for us, going to the cross, and sending your Holy Spirit. So many things to be thankful for. You have a purpose for us in this world. Help us to understand that, realize that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Ways of the Bible is the title of the message there. And I know I got to looking, you know, I mean, I've been preaching over 22 years now, and I've probably preached on just about every major thing, theme, and that, but, you know, we can't exhaust it. Sometimes I shared this with the ladies' Sunday school class real quick when I was walking out. I heard Terry made a comment, and I said, I got something to say about that. Said she was going to try something new. Sometimes, you know, when we think about the Word of God, if you've been saved a long time, you know, you hear things over and over and over again. We hear things like faith and, you know, faithfulness and those type things. And we hear that a lot. And, you know, after a while, if we're not careful, we become jaded to those things. And we think, oh, you know, I've heard it before. I've heard everything before. I've heard a message like that. You're going to hear one. I've preached on this topic before as well. But I heard a fellow preach, I think it was Vance Havner, said this. He said, you know, sometimes everybody thinks we need something new. He said, I'm going to tell you what, when I get on an airplane to fly somewhere, the last thing I want to hear the pilot say is to come out and say, hey, folks, today we're going to try something new. You know, we don't want to try nothing new right there. Let's just go with the tried and true and stay on that. And so, you know, we think about this, about the ways of the Bible, and we see in our text, it said that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How many of us, and I think everybody would apply, but let me ask this question. How many times have you ever been totally convinced, I mean totally convinced, that you were right about an answer maybe, or a matter of some kind, that you were totally right, only to find out after a while that you were wrong? I mean, you can't believe it. I mean, you're just so sure, adamant. I've seen people, and I've probably been that way, just adamant that this is what it was, and you find out that you're wrong. Now, sometimes the consequences of that is not a big deal. You know, it's just not a big deal. But other times there can be greater consequences. And when it comes to salvation, about, you know, when it comes to our salvation, I mean, there's not a greater consequence than being wrong about how you get to God or how you get to heaven or have eternal life or salvation. Not a greater consequence than that. And I really believe that that's what in Proverbs is speaking about that. You know, when we think about this, what really shapes the way that we think? Young people, I wasn't planning on the graduation message for you, but this will apply. And it applies to all of us. What really shapes, like, how we think, our opinions about things in life? Because you start varying, and I know if you've been saved a long time and everything, we know what's supposed to shape it, but I'm asking you, what does shape it? When we think about the movies that come on, and society, peer pressure, popular opinion, you know, sometimes there's an influential person in your life. could be parents, could be somebody else that kind of influences the way that you think and the way that you act and live. Well, you think about that. What really influences? Let me ask you something. I mean, you know, and we know as Christians, you know where I'm going with this. I mean, it's supposed to be God, right? The Word of God, that's the basic thing. But think about this. Let's just talk about, you know, certain things. Say, like for young ladies, I'll use this for an example. It's a good one. Well, what determines in your mind how short your dresses should be? Something like that. And that's just an example. What determines? Who's really calling the shot on that? Is it society? Or is it God? God said, you know, to be modest in apparel, right? I mean, that's what God said. Who's really calling the shot on that? Man, when we look at things and what we see in society today, I think I got something about this tonight. I mean, man, alive, when we look at what's going on in the world. I was watching, trying to watch a hockey game the other night, and there was an advertisement came on. I know I got this in the illustration for the points tonight, but I'll blend it in here. They were advertising, I think, and I don't watch these things, but it just popped up on there. It was the advertisement for the People's Choice Music Awards. And I got to looking at that. I mean, it just flashed all this stuff. Let me tell you something, folks. It's pornographic. Number one, you got no business looking at it. And number two, your kids got no business looking at it. I mean, half naked, more than half naked. That's wrong. Three quarters naked. Dancing all around the place, innuendo-type maneuvers there on, you know, and this is what, do you let that dictate to you how you should act, look, say, walk, say, what you do? I got more on that tonight. I know it's been tonight's point there as well. So what shapes the way you think? Who do you listen to? Judges 17:6. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's kind of the way things go in the world that we're living in today. Everybody, when we start thinking about opinions, there's a saying about preachers, and it probably applies in the secular world as well, too. Said you get three preachers together and you're going to have five opinions. So opinions aren't really going to be a good... You know, what people think when, you know, anytime you see, it's already messing up when it comes to a lot of things. Well, I think. If somebody said, well, I think, or this is what I believe. If it's not based on the Word of God, and then it would be wrong or could be wrong. And you know, we live in a day that Isaiah spoke about, he said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil in Isaiah 5:20. We're certainly living in that day today. Man alive, I mean, you try to live your life according to the Word of God today, and they got names for you. Huh? They got some names for you. They're going to call you names, and you know, and they're not good names. I mean, I guess in a way they are. I don't let them bother me too much, but that's certainly the way. So, you know, how, when you think about our text, how can a person think that he's so right and be so wrong? How can that happen? How can you think that you're so right about anything and be so wrong? And here's the answer right here. And when it comes to most of life, we shouldn't separate secular and Christian or spiritual. It's all the same, but here it is. When we substitute what we think for what God says, this is where you're going to go wrong every time, every single time. When we substitute what we think, well, I think it's going to be all right. Now, what does God's Word say? See, sometimes people ask me, they know you're a preacher, and I remember even when I worked in a secular job, a regular job, but I was already pastoring the church, or even today. If somebody knows, and this will happen to you, if they know you're a Christian, you're living a Christian life, they understand that, they got a question about the Bible. What do you think about fill in the blank? You know, I've had a lot of questions over, you know, what do you think? And what I try to say, wait a minute, do you want to know what I think? Or do you want to know what the Word of God says? And I'm hoping that my thinking and my thinking should be lining up with the Word of God, and yours too, not just because I'm the pastor. Yours should line up with the Word of God. So you want to know what I think, or you just want to know, you're asking me really, what does God say about it? See, that doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what God's Word says, and that's why we're supposed to preach the Word of God, because we start getting off in somebody's opinions. Back to that joke, You get three people together, you got five opinions, probably more than that. And if you get 20 people together, how many opinions are you going to have when you get to that? And so we substitute what we think for what God says. And because, listen, no wrong answers come from God. No wrong answers come from God. We understand, you know, and so you have to understand that. God's word, it's the Bible says, there's a big word. The Bible doesn't say it, but we say it. It means immutable, means it doesn't change. The word of God is immutable. It doesn't change. It's a constant thing. Look at the society that we live in today and how many things change. Man's opinions change. There's one great thing. I'm not really getting on a high horse about this, although I'm not making excuses for preaching against it either. But I want to use this illustration to show you, and because this happened in most of our lifetime, the views about homosexuality. Think about it. Most of us are old enough to remember when, right? Remember, you know, when I came up, they had a term, you know, coming out of the closet because they used to be in the closet. And most of the world that we grew up in, most all of us here that I'm looking at, except just maybe just a few real young ones, most of the world that we grew up in, we remember a time when everybody or the majority of the world thought that was sin. Because it was sin. Because it is sin. We thought it was wrong. And we knew it was wrong. All right, now in our lifetime, look at it now. I mean, they have got rights and recognizing the same-sex marriage, and states are allowing that to happen. Now, you would have 30 years ago, you'd have never believed in a million years that this would have happened in America. Now, if you believe what the Bible says, and I do, and I stand on what the Word of God says, guess what? I am looked upon, and you are looked upon as something wrong with you. They got names for you. You're a homophobic. That's okay. You're a bigot. You're narrow-minded. And you just don't understand. You know, you're ignorant. All kind of names that go along with it. But listen, what happened? Why was so many people years ago thinking one way and so many people thinking that way today? How did that happen? Because we substituted what we think for what the Word of God says. That's the only way that it happens. And that's just one area. I mean, like I said, the reason I like that illustration is because we all saw it in our lifetime. We're witnessing right now. We're witnessing that in our lifetime right now. It changed before our eyes. Left the Word of God for man's opinion. Is it the right way or the way of death? Listen. We know it's wrong, Word of God. Listen, you think, well, you know, there's now more people are experiencing their sexual freedom or whatever. No, listen, they existed in the Old Testament. They existed in early, you know, this has been a problem. Man, sinful nature has been a problem since Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, right? I mean, there's more of them now. No, there was whole towns full of them in God's day. There was Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a whole town full of homosexuals. You know what happened to them? God burned them up. God burned up the whole town. Don't tell me that God made them that way or that God thinks it's right. And this isn't a message against homosexuality, although, like I said, I'm not making excuses for giving you the word. I'm just telling you, man, and listen, the danger is, and this is why I really have a burden for this for us, the danger is today is we're letting the world's opinion out there slip into our opinions. It's starting to slip into our mind because we're saturated with it day and night. This is okay, the normal. The stuff I'm telling you, that advertisement I saw for that show on there, that would have been on an R-rated movie in the 60s and 70s. It would have been an R-rated movie. It's on public television. Can't even get away from it on advertising. I'm trying to watch a sporting event, and the thing pops up on the screen. Huh? That's changed in our time. And so it's slipping in, and we accept it. You know why we accept it? Because the majority of the society accepts it. And we're going to be different if we don't. And so the Bible talks about some ways and different ways. This is not an unfamiliar text to you, but I just feel like it needs preaching as well. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." This is talking about salvation. "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. And so you know, we see this broad way. It says there's a broad way and a wide way, and it's leading to destruction, and it says many, many go in thereat. Now, you know, thinking about the public opinion or popular opinion and most people's ideas on how to operate their life are really based on what everybody else is doing. You know, must be all right. Everybody else. And sometimes, remember, your kids do this, and even adults do it too. Sometimes you say, well, you know, Johnny or Sonny, you know, I don't want you doing that. Well, everybody else is doing it. Remember, did your kids ever say that? And what your mom and dad back in the day, they used to say, well, if Johnny jumped in the fire, would you jump in the fire? And, you know, we'd be a smart aleck. What would we say? Yeah. Yeah, we'd say, yeah. You know, and then your mom about that time or your dad would get mad at you. But that just shows you that's what it is. That's why we say that. Why do we say, well, everybody else is doing it? It must be all right. So we're letting society shape what we think instead of the Word of God. It happens in the church, man. Listen, we can't isolate ourselves right now. We're supposed to be a separated people, but we're not necessarily. We're supposed to be. We can't really isolate ourselves from what's going on out there in the world. The way it says it's the broad way. Now listen, that broad way. You don't have to do anything to get on the broad way in the wide gate. You're already on it. If you're not saved, you're on it. You're on the broad way. It's like, you don't have to do a thing. It's like just floating downstream on a log or something. You're already on it. And no action is required there. And we look about who's on the broad way. Well, what did it say? Many? The majority. I remember years ago, and I got this idea in my head, and I know I'm probably not the only one, but I've heard other people say it too. Listen, if everybody else is doing it, it's probably wrong according to, in relation to the Word of God or being right in the sight of God. If everybody else is doing it, it's probably wrong. That's not a bad rule of thumb. It's not really today. If everybody else is doing it, most of the time, that's the case. Many as opposed to few. You know, when you ever notice, if you go through the Bible, as a matter of fact, the majority is almost always wrong. The majority most of the time is wrong. We talked about Noah. I mentioned Noah in Brian's class this morning. The thing about Noah's day, there was millions of people on the earth in Noah's day. Noah preached for 120 years. Seven people got saved. Eight total people got saved. You mean millions? There was millions and millions of people were wrong. Noah said, listen, man, God's going to judge the world. You know, you need to get into the ark. You know, this would basically, I'm just giving you the basic. You got to get in the ark if you want to be saved. God's going to judge the world with a flood, and the whole world's going to be destroyed. Millions of people said, you're wrong. Seven people said, I think Noah's right. Let's get in the ark. Guess what happened? God judged the world. They were wrong. And I can imagine, man, and I preached on Noah here just a few weeks ago, several weeks ago. God shut that door, and the water started rising up. There was people outside banging on the side of the, I'm just guessing, banging on the side of the boat. Man, I can't believe we messed up that. They're out there swimming. How long can you tread water? I don't know. I thought Noah was wrong. Yeah, me too. Huh? I thought Noah was wrong. Yeah, but guess what? You were wrong. And that's one of them areas you can't make a mistake in right there. Joshua sent 12 spies over into the promised land, said, spy out the land. Let's see what it looks like. They came back. They gave an evil report. They said, oh, yeah, hey, look, the grapes are big, and they got all kind of, this is some land of milk and honey, no doubt about it. They said, but boy, them people like grasshoppers, and they're big, and we can't take them. And two of the spies said, no, we can get them. And the 10 convinced the rest of the multitude that they couldn't do it. There was two of them, and I believe Joshua probably thought they could do it too. There was two of them that said, no, can't do it. Guess what? The majority was wrong. They were wrong about that. They went on what God said. God said, listen, I'm going to give you the land. He already had a word on it. He said, I'm going to give it to you. Just listen to what God's got to say. And here's another thing. Every time you say, I know what God says, but. Every time you put a but on the end of what God says, now you're substituting something in there for what the Word of God says. You get in trouble. You get in trouble with that. Amen? Amen. Come on. Remember, and this is one of the saddest stories. Not every Easter I try to get myself into the role of the people that you read about. And I read about Pilate, Pontius Pilate. What a dilemma that guy was in. He really was under political pressure from the political leaders of the day. He didn't want to have a riot going on in town. He looked up there, he examined Jesus up and down, and he said, I don't find any fault in him. There's nothing worthy of death. He didn't find any fault. He went and scourged him anyway, but shouldn't have. But he found, and his wife said, listen, have nothing to do with this guy. And I believe way down, listen, his own conscience told him that it was, that there was nothing wrong with Jesus. There was no fault in Jesus, that he wasn't worthy of it. His own conscience. But guess what? The crowd, the majority said, listen, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He's got a thing going on. He's the governor. He's in charge. He's going to make the decision. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get ready, now, Jesus Christ, he's supposed to be on our throne, but the truth of the matter is we're all sitting on our own thrones. When you get right down to it, we're calling the shots in our life, right? And the crowd's saying, hey, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And the crowd's yelling, the crowd's yelling, the crowd's yelling, just like they did with Pilate. And you got to make the decision because you're really the one that's in charge of your life. You're the one that's going to call the shot in your life. The crowd is yelling. Huh? And Pilate's standing there knowing good and well that Jesus wasn't worthy of death. And then he even asked Jesus, he said, what is truth? Man, that's a profound statement. He was standing in the presence of truth. Jesus was the truth. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, nobody going to come to the Father but mine. I'm the truth. He's standing right there. And he really knew the truth because he knew that Jesus didn't deserve death. He knew the truth. You can't always listen to your conscience, but in this case, his conscience was right. So listen here, our actions can be swayed by a majority that's usually wrong, even when our conscience tells us otherwise. That's why your conscience can't be your guide. See, because this here, the Word of God doesn't change. But your conscience can change. You know, your conscience can be swayed. Your conscience can tell you one thing, but your actions can be swayed by the crowd, by the popular opinion. And it's a danger that I see in the church today. We're getting swayed by what the world is saying instead of by what God is saying in our life. There's a great little illustration in that story. Remember the movie? I watch this every Christmas. Y'all come over to my house on Christmas Eve, and you know what we do? We put the TV on. They have that story, the Christmas story on there, right? It's not a Christian thing, but it's not a bad thing. You remember old Flick? They got him out there by the flagpole, and they said, Flick, stick your tongue out and stick it on that flagpole, ice cold. You know how that story goes, right? Now, Flick don't want to do it, but he got triple dog dared. Huh? Now, if you get to triple dog dare, the guy said he bypassed the double dog dare. You get triple dog dare, you got to do it, right? That's what the boy says in the Christmas story thing, right? Now, Flick don't want to do it. But everybody else going, yeah, come on, man, you know. And they call, what do they do? They do the same thing the world did. They called him names. Fill in the blank. They called him names. Just like society does. You're a homophobic and whatever. Called him names. Oh, you know. And what did he do? He got his tongue out there. And he's all quivering. He don't want to stick it on there. Did what he didn't want to do. Stuck it on there. And then what happened? See you, man. Everybody walks off, man. He's stuck to the flagpole. Comes in there with a Band-Aid on it, you know, he can't talk. I mean, that just shows you how that we let the world, even when we know, that's why this says right here. We know that it's wrong right there. The deceived, there's the majority on the Broadway, and then the deceived are on the Broadway. You know, a lot of people, they're deceived. You know, so it seems like so easy. They're going down the Broadway, not really knowing where they're going. You ever done that? You ever seen a crowd? Everybody's a big crowd going. I remember when I was over in Seas one time, and in Sicily, and Mount Etna is the largest active volcano in Europe, and it erupted, and everybody was going outside. We didn't know that a volcano was erupting, but there was a big crowd of people out there, and everybody's going to the crowd. And I remember asking, "Where are we going? Is there a fight? What's going on? We're all going out. I don't know. Everybody's going. We're all going over there. Why? Because that's where the crowd was. You know, there's, ain't that a good illustration? That we're all, where are we going? I don't know. We could have been going into, got blown up. We could have been going over there and have been a bunch of, they're going to let a bunch of lions out on us or something. I mean, I don't know. We're all, where are we going? I don't know. Everybody else is going. I'm going too. You jumping in the fire? Yeah, if everybody else is going to jump in the fire. We went over there and, you know, just see the thing erupting. It didn't do anything to us, but we see it. We go with the flow. Listen, on the Broadway, there's wicked people. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. There's good moral people too. There's good moral people that's on the Broadway, but what it is because they don't know, what the Word of God says. They're not sure you know what the Word of God is. Listen, I can say this anywhere, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to get us to be honest with ourselves. I know without a shadow of a doubt, there's people in this building. I can say it in any church in the world that you hadn't read your Bible all week long. Haven't picked your Bible up one time and looked at the Word of God all week long. I'm not asking for a show of hands. That's a fact. We don't know what the Word of God says. We're ignorant to the Word of God, so therefore we can't follow the Word of God. Understand what I'm saying? This is God's Word to us. God's letter to us for our benefit, by the way. God's doing this. He says, listen, you know, and you ever wonder why? Listen, you ever wonder why there's like all these different denominations, all kind of denominations in the world, Christian? Because somebody decided, I think, and inserted that where God says. This is what the Lord says. This is why we have that in the world today. The broad way. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The narrow way. And the Bible says there that straight's the gate and narrow's the way. And up there where it says enter in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. That word enter, that's the verb. The tense of the verb suggests a deliberate action. A deliberate choice must be taken. Remember what I said about the Broadway? You don't have to do anything to be on the Broadway. You can do nothing and be on the Broadway. But to enter in at the straight gate, the tense of the verb indicates that you have to make a choice to turn to Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we understand. That's what that means. But you have to make a choice to be on the straight gate. It's something you have to do. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And a lot of people think, well, you know, you Christian folks, I mean, you're so narrow-minded. You know, if you're against anything that the world's against, already talked on some of them subjects right there. Yeah, you know, here's how narrow, right here. If you got a fatter Bible, it'll be a little wider. That's a pretty narrow theological verse, isn't it? That's pretty narrow-minded theologically. You know what Jesus said right there? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. It's not, and then man says, well, you know, I think, and now what do we got? Oh, well, you know, it's faith in Jesus Christ plus the sacraments. It's faith in Jesus Christ plus baptism. It's faith in Jesus Christ plus communion. It's faith in Jesus Christ plus you got to join the church. It's faith in Jesus Christ plus, you know, we got to have good works. It's faith in Jesus Christ and you got to get confirmed by somebody else. Listen, no, it's where did all that come from? Somebody's opinion. Somebody thought that it was the right way. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. Amen. Listen, man, I look around the church scene today, and I'm not trying to be, you know, I know sometimes we feel like you get browbeat or whatever. But, you know, listen, if there's a problem, don't we need to address it, right? I mean, there's a real problem in Christianity today. Not just here, just Christianity today. There's a problem. And when you look around at Christianity today, there, you see more people that appear to be on the Broadway than they're on the narrow way. More people appear to be on the Broadway. They look worldly. They talk worldly. They act worldly. They're being influenced and conformed to the majority and the world rather than the Word of God. Man's standards is out the window. What sets your standards? Kind of touched on that briefly. What sets your standards on what you say? How you look? How you act, where you go, what you do. Who sets the standard for that? Man, if the world's setting the standard, you're going to be doing, looking, acting, saying anything. But it's got to be the Word of God, right? Huh? The Word of God, God's covered it all. I mean, but this is what we're seeing in the world. But why is it? Because everybody's doing that which is right in his own eyes. I hear this sometimes. Well, I know what the Bible says, but... And then fill in the blank with all kinds of things. I know what the Word of God says, but... Well, if you know what the Word of God says, just do it. I mean, that'd solve all the problem right there. Just do what the Word of God says. Vance Havner, I was listening. I love to listen to that guy preach. He was preaching on the radio the other day, and I've heard the message before. But he was talking about his mother. And his mother was a Quaker. And he said they called them Quakers because that what they believed about the Word of God made them shake. What they believed about the Word of God made them shake. They shook because of what they believed. He said today people are shaky about what they believe. they don't know. And they don't know because they don't look at the Word of God. Bible study. We have Bible studies on Wednesday night. We study the Word of God. Get the Bible. Least attended service in any church. Just about any church in the world today. That's our least attended church service. Sunday night's picked up a little bit. Wednesday night's going down. Bible study and prayer meeting. You know why? We don't believe what the Word of God says about the power that we have in prayer. Man, I mean the power that we have in prayer that we can come, we don't believe it. And so those things drop off. And we look at the things that go on in the world and what goes on in the church. We look at divorce, infidelity, alcohol, drugs, pornography. You know, they do polls all the time. And they found out from the people that are just being honest, and I know everybody's not honest on in polls, but from the people that are being honest, that there's as much of that going on in the church as going on in the world. The percentage is exactly the same. The divorce rate in the church is exactly the same as it is in the world, people that are claiming that they're not saved. The divorce rate. Pornography, drugs, alcohol, infidelity, fool around. It's the same outside the church as inside the church. Man, there's a whole list of things. When you're talking about putting on the armor of God, boy, and letting your light shine before men, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, boy, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the influence that the church is going to have on the world. Heard somebody say the other day, well, now, and I'm going to talk about this tonight too, but I'll give it to you because everybody won't be. There's a positive thinking man, right? You know, and the Bible does talk about separation, and you know, there's things that we need to be away from in that. But in the world, we live in the real world, and we're going to be around people. You may have to work with somebody that's lost. Well, I got to work with somebody, and I probably shouldn't work with them because they're just going to be a bad influence on me. You're telling me that you're saved by the power of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost of God is dwelling in your heart, and you can't even work with somebody without them being a bad influence on you? Huh? We're supposed to be influencing the world. We're supposed to influence the world with the power of the gospel on our life. I wouldn't put yourself in a bad place all the time, but in reality, we're going to live in a world that's mostly full. Who's on the Broadway? The majority, right? The majority's on the Broadway, right? So if we're living in this world, we're going to be living mostly around lost people, right? And so we're supposed to have an impact on them. We can't function in this world. God, you mean God didn't have the power to help us function in this world with the power of the Holy Spirit on our life to where we can influence other people, that we're going to be influenced by them? Why should we be influenced by the world? We shouldn't. Everybody else feels like crying too. See, he gets it. That's what I want. I want somebody to burden. I want somebody with some tears, man, about the way the church is going, man, and the way the world is going right there. The Bible says many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. The end thereof is the ways of death. Listen, you can't afford to be wrong about this. And it's time for God's people really to get back to the Word of God and believe it. Believe the Word of God. Live the Word of God. There's the broad way and there's the narrow way, and I'm gonna tell you what, there's the only way. There's the only way. Jesus said, I'm the way. Huh? I'm the way. That's it. I don't know who you've been trusting for eternal life, what you've been trusting for eternal life. But you know, and the main thing, listen, I know I'm speaking to a lot of people that are saved. But I'm trying to get you to see, listen, you got to live your life according to the Word of God and not according to what the world sets up. The standards in the world are getting lower. There is no standards. There is no standards in this world right here. We got the Word of God, a sure Word of God to live our life by. And buddy, I'm telling you what, there was a time in America, there was a time when I'm telling you what, it was hard to tell the lost people from the saved people, more so because the lost people acted and looked and had some kind of morals and some kind of decency and knew how to dress. And there was a time they were lost as they could. They were just as lost as the lost people today. But there was a time when they knew how to do that. But now we're living, you can't tell the lost people from the saved people today because the people in the world have gotten so worldly instead of the lost people coming up to the standard of God's people. God's people have gone back to the standard of the world, and now the world looks around and we can't tell the difference because the church has got so worldly herself. Huh? Why? Because we have substituted our opinion for the Word of God. There's a way that seems right, but the Bible says it's the ways of death. Huh? It's the ways of death, really. That's the truth right there, really. And I mean, God gave us that Word. God gives us that Word to help us. Listen, we don't have to. This is the thing about this. This is the aggravating thing about it. We don't have to live like that. I think, I mean, and the farther this world goes off into wickedness and sin, the more the church and God's people should stand out. You should look different. Trust me. If you look like this world right here, you're in sin. We should look different. We should sound different. We ought to smell different. We ought to talk different. Everything about our life should be different. This world out here, just not looking for a copy of itself. There's people out there, they're in it. They're in the flow. They're going down the stream. They don't even know where they're going. They're in it. They realize it. They're not looking for more of the same. They're looking for something to cling to, something to give them hope. We're supposed to be a light in the world. Shine. Amen? Huh? That's what we're supposed to be. Listen, everybody stand with your head.